A song of trust. We sang, "In Thee, O Lord, I put my trust." Yeah, is that your song? Because you just sang it, and it's a question of faith and conviction and even practice, and we'll be looking at these themes in Genesis. So if you want to follow along, we'll be in Genesis chapter 12. I'll be reading the first three verses, picking up where we left off. Looking at one of those people who walked in the faith before us. It's a member of the church, Abram at this point. We've looked at the backdrop. Remind you, it's a context of problems. God's making promises, but there have been lots of problems. And so when we get to these verses, you might think these seem a little out of nowhere, don't they? The first 11 chapters were a mess of humanity. God creates everything good, and then the sin and the fall and the first murder and then a great flood and an attempt by man to build his own way to God at Babel. What a mess, right? And yet also revealed along the way, we've seen some generations or genealogies that prove that God is up to something, something good. The seed of the woman is going to come and save the day, crush the serpent's head, things like that. But you might be asking as a reader, how would God do this? How would this storyline develop? How will this come to pass? In particular, in the face of all these problems, problem after problem after problem. Well, hearer of the word, receive these words from Genesis 12, 1 through 3, and hear the word of the Lord. Now, the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Let's pray together. Father, as the prophet says, the grass withers and the flower fades, but your word stands forever. And so we pray that through your timeless word, you would speak to your people gathered here this day, and by your spirit, reveal gospel truth. Pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen. I understand that there's an election coming up. It's a year away, but it seems like it's always on the way. How could you not notice the coverage? It's everywhere. We got debates, not quite the deluge of advertisements, but we hear promises still, headlines, prominent politicians telling us what they will do for us. I will cut your taxes. And so, no, I will cut your taxes more. And then another one will say, oh, yeah, well, I will end this and that war. Well, I will do it sooner and better and cheaper, whatever that means. I will restore confidence in the economy. I will too. I will so vote for me. Campaigns, in contrast, candidates galore, making promises. And soon enough, we'll see what happens. We will see whose will be done. And today's verses obviously are not about political campaigns, or politicians, or even humans for that matter. What we hear in these words is another kind of promise. It's a divine promise. It's a covenant promise from God, the Lord, the one who offers his word that is not conditional, doesn't have conditions attached to it. It's not provisional. There's no tricks. This is straight talk right here. This is a word relaying, you see this, what God will do. You're going to hear the word will a lot on our way to the table. Something about the will of God. And when God says, I will, his will be done. Do you believe that? Can you trust that? And can you rest in that? Do you need a good word today? Gospel? You need a gift from God to you, even in the words of Genesis? Yeah, we'll walk through this revealed will of God together. And along the way, the plan will be to follow Abram here and hear the will of the Lord. And reveal, this is what the Lord's doing, how he will, one, show the way, how he will make things great, and how he will carry out the plan. He will. Those are the 3 points today. No alliteration. We're mixing it up a little bit. What the Lord will do. He will show the way, make things great, and carry out the plan. Let's walk through that. The verses here in Genesis are unfolding, and they're taking us all the way to the New Testament. No surprise there. No spoiler alert that this is the beginning that leads to the everything, like we heard about in the Sabbath. It's the whole Bible story. And here, there's something pretty significant that's moving forward. Everything will be moving toward what the Lord said he would do. And that's why we're starting with this first point, that God will show what he will do. He's showing the way. And very specifically, and yet briefly, we'll look at he's showing the way to a pilgrim leaving to a promised land. Okay, so you got a pilgrim and a land of promise that he's going to. So look with me at verse 1. And by the way, these are the first recorded words that God gives since he spoke to Noah. So a lot's happened since then, but now God speaks again. Verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. Right? So, like I said, there's a pilgrim. Who's the pilgrim? You say, well, that's pretty straightforward. What is a pilgrim? That's a person who goes a long way to eat turkey. Well, sometimes. Sometimes we think that. Or you say, no, a pilgrim is someone who makes progress because we got Pilgrim's Progress, if you've ever heard of that. And yes, it's true that the pilgrim must make progress because essentially what a pilgrim is doing is going on a journey, going to a particular place. He has a destination. You could say it's even a quest for the pilgrim. He's got a goal to get from here to there, wherever there is. And here in Genesis 12, verse 1, we could ask ourselves, who's the pilgrim and where exactly is there? Pilgrim's Abram. That was easy. Verse 1, the same Abram who just got his family tree described, if you were here last time. If not, you can look back. He's Abram, the son of Terah, who, as we know, is in the line of Shem. That has great significance for the plan of God, as we'll see even more in just a moment. But right here, recognize God's pilgrim in Abram. He's called by God to go out, to go away from everything familiar, even familial. I like that word. Things to do with family, things that you recognize, things that you find comforting and safe. And yet here's the progression. Leave that. Go from your country. Go from your kindred. Go from your father's house. Go. Leave what is known, what you might think is safe. And instead, do this. Trust. This is heavily implied. Trust the Lord to lead you to this place you don't know. No Google Maps, no reviews from TripAdvisor, no photos, no brochures, no GPS. Just go to, and I will show you that place. Now go. And certainly by way of implication, this command, this call would require no small amount of faith or trust. Specifically, trust in someone whose family, as we saw last time, likely were worshipers of the moon or the moon gods. So, Abram, here's the plan. I'll show you the way. I will. Now, maybe you know the storyline. You think, yeah, this ends pretty well, doesn't it? Well, we'll see as we move with Abram along in the next couple of chapters. But today, in these opening verses, we notice already that he has a call by God that is gracious. It isn't as though God looked down from heaven and said, well, who is the most faithful person I can trust with my story? And so he sees Abram over there in Ur, maybe worshiping moon gods, and thinking, there's the guy that has been so faithful, I will use him. No, it's the opposite of that. I will take that guy over there, and I will show him my grace and my plan, and I will show him the way. I will. The call is set before us. You follow me. Does that sound like something in the New Testament too? You follow me. We got Levi over there. Follow me. All right. Trust me. I'll lead you from where you are to where I will show you. And as a Christian, if you're a Christian today, you know that call in some form. You've heard the voice of the Lord say something familiar and familial as a child of God. You're a member of the family and you say, I recognize these words. I have to leave my past. I have to turn from my sin. I have to trust the Master. I have to trust Jesus and follow him to the place where he says he will take me. I will follow him to that new place, that new people, a new home, a new hope. I'm a pilgrim. I'm going to live by faith, not by sight. I'm going to follow the Lord. And if you're a child of God and a spiritual descendant of this father in the faith, Father Abraham, then you know what it means to treasure this call as a pilgrim that will lead you to the land of promise. Again, no spoiler alert. That's a reality alert. That's where we're going. You should be able to identify with these steps that we're seeing here in Genesis 12. And yet moving along, if you look at me at verse 2, you can see how gracious, really how specific God is in revealing his will. So first he says, I will show you the way. He will. And now point 2, he says, I will make things great. Have you ever heard such a thing? Verse 2 says to the pilgrim, it, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I'll pause there. Acknowledge a couple of things about the promise. It's unconditional. Maybe I've mentioned that already. No condition attached. It isn't something depends on something else. This is, again, straight talk. So it's unconditional. It's also unbreakable. If you didn't calculate that, unbreakable. You know, I don't know if they still make those combs that it's just a big invitation for a kid. The comb, this plastic comb, says it's unbreakable. Well, we'll see about that. It's tough, but I'll tell you something. It's plastic. It's breakable. And here comes the Lord after some silence, apparently, and speaks to Abram, and he's got this unconditional, unbreakable word that's eternal. It's not plastic. It's divine. And it's a promise. It flows from his character. Try to break the promise. You can't. He can't. I like pointing that out. Even God, you think you can't break. But God can't break his promise. I'll back up a little bit. He won't want to break his promise. But he can't. Because he said it. That's who we're dealing with here. His character, his word, his will. And he says here, I will. He will not forget. He will not fudge on what he says. He will. God's will is to do his will. Now, we don't always pull that off. We say things like, we forget, we're human. We cut ourselves a break. I will take out the trash. Oh, I forgot. I will pick up the kids. Ooh, I forgot. And there are magnitudes of what we say we will do and do not do. But praise the Lord, he will do what he says he will do. And here's something he says very clearly he will do. And it's quite grand. It's great. And according to these verses, he will do a number of things. Remember, this is an account that it's not just about Abram. You look at that. You think this is about? It's not even primarily about Abram. You say what it looks like. No, this is about God. These verses are about your Lord, what he will do. Abram, leave here, go to a place I will show you, verse 1, and listen to what else I will do, verse 2. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing, or be a blessing. You could say it that way. It's a promise that has to do with a blessing. You say, well, I like blessings, so I want to dial into what this blessing is. And the word blessing is all over the place. You see that? And so these words follow. Remember, this is following the debacle at Babel in chapter 11. And notice that this blessing will include, again, verse 2, a nation and a name. See, that's alliteration. It's right there in the verse. A nation and a name. A great nation and a great name, in fact. This is what God says he will do. It's right there. As opposed to what at Babel? If you remember the flow, the humans there, they were pretty determined to do something great themselves. We'll get some bricks and we'll make a name for ourselves and we'll be great. And we won't be scattered. That was the plan, and that plan failed, as you may know. The fallen people after the flood were making plans that still failed. And here's the plan. It didn't work out. And what happens next? The Lord of grace and blessing comes to Abram and says, I will. Their will doesn't work. The humans gathered together, doing their best, no good. There's a contrast right in the flow of the storyline here. God says, I will, and it happens. No qualifiers, no qualifier like, well, if the funding comes through, then if those rascals over there who disagree with everything I'm saying, they'll disagree with me, then it will come about. Or if I get elected, see, I will do these great things. No, I will make you a great nation. Unconditional. No conditions, no ifs, no maybes, no restrictions. This is what God's going to do. He doesn't leave it up to Abram, thankfully. He doesn't leave it to some outside force or to some awesome government. This is the Lord graciously giving a good thing. The blessing is his. He gives it. It's not up to your merit or your action. I hope you can read right into that good news because it's right there. The Lord will carry out the plan. It's not about your will, however free you think it is. It's the Lord's will that saves the day. Here are the sinners, back then, even to this day, and the desires of the Lord set forward. We get tired. We get anxious. We say things that we can't pull off. And in the face of that, here's the Lord himself, perfectly righteous and saying what he will do. Blessings. Nation and name specifically are named. There'll be a gift. A gift. I want to emphasize that. Even for Abram, it wasn't, if you do these 14 things, then I will make your name great. And then the nation comes. No. It's like God saying, here's the plan. And you get to be a part of it. It's grace. And if Abram had dared, or if you dare to say, why, Lord, why me? Why bless me? Why use me? The answer would not be because you're awesome. It wouldn't be because you've been the champ all along and you're so sincere and I can use people like you. Again, that's not the storyline here. The plan, the choice is clear that this is God's will. God's will. And in some way, as this story moves forward and it will show these principles of the promise, reveal the same God who calls you from where you are to where he will take you, where he will take you. Every pilgrim that God calls to himself, he provides the faith and the promise. The faith here is, can you follow me to a place you've not yet seen? Let that sink in. Can you follow the Lord sight unseen to the place where he says, I will take you? It's a secure promise. God says he will do this. I jotted down some other storyline confirmations of our title today, I will. You want to hear some others? This is a little sneak preview. We're in Genesis 12, and here's some to follow. I will remember my covenant. I will give you this land. I will multiply your descendants. I will take you for my people. I will harden Pharaoh's heart. I will make my dwelling among you. I will be your God. Pause, let that sink in. New Testament, I will make you fishers of men. I will strike down the shepherd. I will never desert you. I will be with you always. I will raise him up on the last day. And I will give to the one who thirsts. Revelation 21. These are, again, unconditional promises. This is what the Lord will do. It's a promise. That's the storyline. The promise is here even to Abram. Do you trust him who speaks God's will? Or is it possible that even today you want a little bit more? That what the Lord has revealed, you think, yeah, that's nice, but it would be nice if you revealed, well, more details about my future or who I'm supposed to marry or what's going to happen to my kids. I like the blessing angle, but I'm lacking something, Lord. I need more details, more promises, more feelings, more revelation from you. And if that's a craving in your heart, you can ask yourself, what you need more revelation or more faith in what has been said? Because the Lord has said, I will do this. That's a lot of will. God's will. Written down, revealed, and spoken by his Spirit to you. Bountifully in the Word right in front of you. You don't need more details, it turns out, because if you did, you'd have them. The Word is sufficient. The faith might be deficient, so you can pray for that. Lord, give me more faith. I want to trust you. Like the psalmist, Lord, I put my trust in you. And with it comes this sure word. It comes from knowing that the God who has called you is faithful. He's faithful to the pilgrims. He's faithful to his promises, of course, and that includes the purpose of the plan, and that's the final point today. Verse 3, this is where we move from the Lord saying he will show the way to the pilgrim, to the place, and also he will make things great, the nation and the name. And he will carry out the plan. Verse 3, look with me there. I will bless those who bless you. And him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Notice that the words to Abram here, there's a calling. We've been over that. It's not simply to be a recipient. One commentator put it this way, it's kind of tight, that Abram is to be both a receptacle for the divine blessing and a transmitter of that blessing. So a receptacle for the divine blessing and a transmitter of that blessing. Right? So this is big stuff. It's tightly, and there's a, I won't pretend to exhaust this verse. There's a lot that can be said here. And the scriptures will be developing the storyline as we've already got that trajectory going. But here, developed throughout the book of Genesis and really through the Old Covenant and into the New Covenant itself, there's a big picture that's, you could drop a pin right here, and what's revealed? The purpose of God. It is so expansive. It is so advancing, too. It's moving outward at his will because of what he says he will do. And it's also notable here, you might not like this part, but it shouldn't be a surprise, that this is going to happen even though there's pushback. There are forces working against the plan. Turns out there are enemies for the pilgrims all along the way. That shows up right here. He's going to face curses and hostilities, violence from other nations along the way. And so what does God's word reveal? There it is. What does history reveal? If you know anything about the last 4,000 years since Abram, there's opposition to the plan of God, to the people of God. Lots of people do not like God's people. Have you noticed that? No surprise. Right here, the plan. I'm going to do this. This stuff will happen. You'll see this stuff. Many don't like you because you're a Christian. You follow Jesus. They don't like that. It's foolishness to them. It's your faith as you follow him all the way. And I'm saying this not to, you know, make us feel sorry for ourselves. Not complaining about something as though this is new. This is not new. People find offense. They take offense at the people of God, the things of God. Same old story, same old pilgrim way. Abram, pilgrim. God is telling you not to worry. Verse 3, I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. Okay, so expect people to come alongside you and expect people to oppose you. But remember my will, my plan, my position, my purpose. Again, verse 3, and in you all families of the earth shall be blessed. Got that? God will do that. He will. Remember the title. I will. God's will be done. And here in verse 3, if you need to look at this again, the blessing that's promised to Abram is not even a general blessing. Sometimes I'm blessed. That could be true. But in your mind, you might fill in the blessings with things like, I've got stuff, or, you know, it's a sunny day outside. This is a very specific blessing. It's not just something physical, it's not just something spiritual that's vague. It's very specific. So I'll point out what's specific. And I'll even help you with this. It's very helpful when the New Testament comes along and says, this is that. Paul does this. He points to the person of Jesus. No surprise there. And again, you might be tempted to say, wait, we're in Genesis. This is chapter 12 of Genesis. Where's Jesus? I hope you don't think that way. What does Jesus tell us about that? What's going on in Genesis? The whole book's about Jesus and God's plan from the beginning, from the Genesis, as we see here, is to reveal good news. That in Jesus Christ, the curse is reversed and that sinners can come back to life and live abundantly. That was declared in chapter 3. The telling of the gospel in Genesis chapter 3. And here's the flow and the line of the promise that sends truth of a deliverer. And this was true from the outset of Abram's call as well. Chapters 15 and 17 will make this even more clear. But even right here, The plan is moving forward. God's going to make it known that somehow in Abram, somehow all the nations will be blessed. They will. They will. Why are you here today? On our way to the table, let's do this. Look with me at Galatians 3. Galatians 3. Read a few verses here. Paul is entertaining things about Abraham. The person we just read was told to go to the place God would show him. And in Galatians 3, I'll read a few verses, picking up in verse 7. Paul's making his case. Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, you ready for this? Preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Okay, this isn't a sermon in Galatians, but at least let that line, we've been over this some in the past, but the gospel was preached to Abraham. People think, no, that showed up in the New Testament. No. What does Paul say? And then, very clearly, he connects it to this, verse 13 of Galatians 3. This is a connection. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree, so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. In short, who hung on the tree? Not Abram. Jesus. That's where redemption is seen. The holy justice of God satisfied, required of fallen man. Abram couldn't accomplish that. It had to be someone else. And Paul's saying, that's Jesus. So here's the blessing, the promise, the purpose of salvation revealed to Abram, realized in Jesus, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. That's always been the story. And God says he will show the way. He will make things great. He will carry out the plan. He will. And today, these are the promises that we review, and they're much stronger than any word of a human. Even your favorite politicians, if there is such a thing, no matter how great, no matter how good the word seems from a man, I'll tell you, the president's word is not the gospel. It can't give life. It can't lead to the land, the eternal land. Campaign promises aside, it's not a covenant. Here's the faithful God saying what he will do, and it is sure, and it's very personal, and here's why it's personal, because it's revealing a person, Jesus, the person who's calling you today to hear his voice, to see him by faith, and also by faith to grab a hold of what he wants to give you in a meal, inviting you to this table. He wants to give his pilgrims gathered here food from heaven, which is where he's seated. And right now he's inviting you to come to where he is to receive spiritual food. That's your Lord. The same Lord who on the night he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And then the apostle adds a word of warning. "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Man ought to examine